broadcasting life and truth around the world. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. If you would like to ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. A reminder once again that you can contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The resource of the month available on the web, equip.org, and through the mail, When the Church Was Young by Marcellino D'Ambrosio. It's a hard name to pronounce, and I asked him in a podcast that I did with him not all that long ago why he is affectionately known as Dr. Italy. And the reason is people can't say Marcellino D'Ambrosio. I had a hard time getting that into my head, and I'm not absolutely sure I'm pronouncing it right as it is. But his book is simply spectacular. And the podcast I did with him, which of course goes over the book, is available now on the web at equip.org or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. The book includes the stories of so many of the noteworthy apostolic fathers and great early apologists of the church and so much more, including it has an overview or a chapter on what's called the Didache. The Didache means the teaching. This is the teaching of the Lord according to the 12 apostles. And it's a document that has long been in use, in fact, in use prior to even the first half of the second century. And it is likely the earliest surviving Christian catechism, the very first instructional manual as well on how to conduct church worship. In other words, you want to know how church worship is to be done? Don't go to a megachurch, go to the Didache. And I should mention that as a catechism, the Didache provides instructions on everything from adultery to abortion. So with respect to the Sixth Commandment prohibition on adultery, the Didache makes plain that relations outside of marriage, relations between males and females outside of marriage, whether heterosexual or homosexual, are forbidden. Not only so, but the Didache contains the earliest indication in all of Christian literature that the murder that is forbidden by the Fifth Commandment includes the murder of abortion. Imagine that. Here you have the earliest surviving document that lets us know about the horrors of abortion. So we think about this as something that follows on the heels of Roe v. Wade. No, this goes all the way back to the early teachings of the church where we know that Roe got it wrong. And of course, Jane Roe, she has admitted that all of the basis for which this horrible Holocaust was based on, all of the basis was a basis based on a house of cards, because the story she told simply wasn't true. She became a Christian, by the way, but the horror of Roe v. Wade is with us as yet today. I should also mention that as an instructional manual for worship, the Didache provides directions for sacred traditions of the church that range from baptism to prayer. So with respect to the sacrament of baptism, What is needed beside water is the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be invoked. So when people today say we should baptize in the name of Jesus only, and somehow or other they take that notion and impose that notion on the Scripture, we can go directly to the early church documents and find out that no, the early church baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. And so they would look for running water, a river, a lake, whatever. They would baptize people. If water wasn't available, they would pour the water over a person's head, but they would always baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Didache also, and this is important, it also instructs Christians to pray three times a day using the Lord's Prayer in place of the Hebrew Shema. I've been explaining this over the last few months, but this is very, very interesting. So the early Jews, go back to the Old Testament times, they would pray the Hebrew Shema. The Hebrew Shema is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." And that they would do this three times a day. They would do it morning, noon, and night. Well, the early Christians, they wanted to retain that pattern, but they were never innovators, they were perpetuators. So they, instead of praying the Shema, prayed the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we also forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." So the early Christians would pray the Lord's Prayer, which, by the way, ends, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But you, if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins." The point here is that the early Christians substituted for the Shema the Lord's Prayer. And this was revolutionary because in ancient Judaism, you were not even allowed to pronounce the name of God, much less call him Father. But the early Christians not only called him Father, but they called him our Father, because they were not praying in isolation. They were praying in union as a body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what they did, we ought to do as well, and not just repeat the words, but recognize the profound mystery locked up in each one of the words. And if you want to get a sense of what that is, I wrote a book quite some time ago called The Prayer of Jesus. I'm referring there to the Lord's Prayer, but it is available along with a study guide on the web at equip.org. And as I mentioned before, you can also get resources like this by simply contacting us via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I should also mention that regarding Christian worship, we read in the Didache that Christians are to gather not on the Sabbath, not on Saturday, but on the first day of the week, on Sunday. So when you have these cultic groups in the present saying that if you worship on Sunday as opposed to worshiping on Saturday, you've taken the mark of the beast, you know that they are sadly and horrifically mistaken. And one other thing I ought to mention with respect to the Didache is that weekly worship is clearly centered on the Eucharist. That was the practice of the early Christians. And far from an empty or a symbolic reminder, the Eucharist was regarded to be a manifestation and deepening of the unity of his body, the church, because we all partake of the one body and blood of Christ. And so we are collectively the temple of the Holy Spirit. As St. John of Damascus put it, if union is in truth with Christ and with one another, we are assuredly voluntarily united also with all those who partake with us. Again, the Didache, you get the scoop written in dramatic fashion. And when the church was young, Voices of the Early Fathers by Marcellino D'Ambrosio, available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. And may I add that this would be a great time to give, because we're getting close to the end of our fiscal year, not our calendar year, but our fiscal year that ends June 30th. So as we get closer and closer to that date, we need you to give generously. And again, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. When we come back, write to your questions.
If the word Trinity isn't in Scripture, why is it such an important part of our faith? If the Bible is frequently misinterpreted, how do we know which interpretation is correct? These are tough questions, but the early church fathers offer clarity. In When the Church Was Young, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio presents poignant portrayals of the lives and teachings of the early church fathers from the early days of Christianity when the church truly was young. To receive your copy of When the Church Was Young, Voices of the Early Fathers, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Do you ever wonder what the early church was like? In When the Church Was Young, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio dusts off dry theology and brings to life the lives of early church heroes, Augustine, Athanasius, Chrysostom, and many more. Long before the words Catholic, Orthodox, and Evangelical referred to distinct and separated communities, the fathers of the church gloried in one faith, the united body of Christ, which can be none other than Evangelical, Catholic, and Orthodox. It's time to rediscover our common inheritance and return to the days when the church was young to experience new growth that will produce new fruit, new unity, and joy. To receive your copy of When the Church Was Young, Voices of the Early Fathers, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, do remember the resources that we talk about on the broadcast. You can find on the web at equip.org as I speak in Charlotte, North Carolina, on a Friday evening. I should say on a Wednesday evening. Getting my dates mixed up here. On a Wednesday evening, it is pouring down rain. In fact, it sort of almost sounds like it is, it's hailing outside right now. Anyway, back to the, or let's go to the phone lines, talk to Donnie in North Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Donnie.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
My question this afternoon is, I've talked to other pastors and stuff about this question, but you know, you hear of men and women pastors and preachers, and I've been reading in Titus. Now, I'm going off of my phone here, and I'd rather read out of the King James Version, but I don't have it with me. But it talks about for an elder or a bishop that any of be blameless, the husband of one wife having faithful children. And it talks about that in there and the requirements to be a pastor or an elder, but I understand it should be a man of one woman. Am I looking at it wrong when you have women calling themselves pastors? Is this correct? Is this wrong? I'd like some insight. I know it's great that they're bringing people to God, but is it the way God wanted it?
Well, you know, I just wrote about the four offices of the church. You have the laity. Out of the laity come all the other offices. So you have the office of bishop. You have the office of presbyter. Presbyter is sometimes shortened to prest or priest. And then you have the office of deacon as well. Those offices are offices that are given to the body of Christ. But the body of Christ, the church which Christ purchased with his own blood, was never innovative. As I was saying in the first part of the broadcast today, the church perpetuated that which was taught, taught in Scripture and taught in the early church. So one of the things we know about women is that the church's greatest saint is a woman. Of course, I'm referring to the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. We also know that some women, including Mary Magdalene, were called equal to the apostles, and that some women served as deacons, which was a high office in the early Christian church. So women share full equality in Christ. But again, because the church is not a church that is innovative, but rather a church that perpetuates the office of bishop and presbyter follows the pattern that's given in the Old Testament, and therefore this is a role for men. And again, this has nothing to do with ontology, because men and women are equal in the eyes of God, equal as icons of Christ, but we, of course, have different roles, and those roles were not only given to us in Scripture, but also in early church history. And by the way, when I'm talking about early church history, I was talking before the break about the Eucharist, and I thought maybe it would be good to expand on that a little bit. Because the Eucharist, variously called communion, which has to do with union with Christ, or the Mass, which translated means mission, or the Lord's table, as it is designated in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it is the central mystery of the church. And because it's central, because it's the central sacrament of the church, we ought to know what's going on here. And I find that most Christians, sadly, don't. They don't recognize that this is the source, this is the zenith of church life. Why? Because by it we are changed from human multiplicity to one body in Christ. And of course, when we're talking about one body of Christ, we're talking about the temple of the Holy Spirit. So within the Eucharistic assembly, within the church, divine life flows into us. It not only flows into us, it penetrates the very fabric of our humanity. And that's why you have early Christians, Christians like those that we're talking about in When the Church Was Young, the book by Marcellino D'Ambrosio, available on the web for your support at equip.org. It's why Ignatius, it's why he christened the Eucharist our medicine of immortality, the antidote against death, that which enables us to live forever in Jesus Christ. So far from a mere representation of past events, the medicine of immortality constitutes the very presence of God's all-embracing love, a love that purifies, that enlightens, that perfects, and yes, that deifies. According to 2 Peter 1:4, deifies all those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. All who through baptism, all through whom have been anointed, all who have been incorporated into the church and become Christ bearers. Like the burning bush, the Eucharist introduces into our very being the fire by which we are inflamed and yet not consumed, the fire by which we experience Pentecost in the present, you know, that mighty rushing wind, the tongues of fire. So as in the early church, so in the present, the Holy Spirit condescends to change the bread and the wine into the pure body, into the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about mystically. In the Eucharist, we are offered Christ's deified flesh to which we are joined. We are joined without confusion or division. Why? In order to partake of divine life. So this is no small thing. By the Eucharist, the body of Christ partakes of the body of Christ and thereby experiences life in the fellowship of the divine Trinity. Now, this is a mystery, but this mystery is nevertheless grounded in certainty. Any certainty? No. A specific certainty, the certainty of Christ. Christ who during the Last Supper took the bread. And you'll recall Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then thereafter he takes the cup, he gives thanks, and by the way, thereby we get the word Eucharist, thanksgiving. He gives thanks, he gives it to them, and he says, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood, the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Now, for the first 1,000 years of church history, we're talking about the time when the body of Christ was as yet undivided. The Eucharistic assembly humbly took Jesus at his word. "This is my body. This is my blood." How this could be so, no one could tell. The church simply confessed the real presence of Christ to be a great, a glorious sacramental mystery. You know, the 4th century theologian Cyril of Jerusalem said, "We become Christ bearers since his body and blood are distributed throughout our limbs." And Blessed Peter said, "We are thereby partakers of the divine nature." And this is a way in which Cyril of Jerusalem, was aptly codifying the faith of the fathers. Again, when you read a book like When the Church Was Young, it isn't left to mystery. It isn't left to conjecture. It isn't left to the ruminations of a 21st century person who has the gift of gab, hangs up a shingle, and starts a new church. No, you get the real teachings from Jesus to the apostles, to the apostolic fathers, to the great apologists of the church. You get that in living, dynamic, written form in this book, When the Church Was Young, Voices of the Early Fathers. It's transformational, it's riveting, it's gripping, and it's available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. If you can give, you can make a difference in the lives of people around the globe. Give right now in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Thanks for tuning in. We'll look forward to seeing you on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Do you ever wonder what the early church was like? In When the Church Was Young, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio dusts off dry theology and brings to life the lives of early church heroes, Augustine, Athanasius, Chrysostom, and many more. Long before the words Catholic, Orthodox, and Evangelical referred to distinct and separated communities, the fathers of the church gloried in one faith, the united body of Christ, which can be none other than Evangelical, Catholic, and Orthodox. It's time to rediscover our common inheritance and return to the days when the church was young to experience new growth that will produce new fruit, new unity, and joy. To receive your copy of When the Church Was Young, Voices of the Early Fathers, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.